The following program is sponsored by Evangelical Life Ministries.
Welcome to Engaging Truth, the manifestation of God's Word in the lives of people around us. Join us each week as we explore the impact of His message of spiritual renewal, from the lesson of forgiveness forged in the crucible of divorce, to the message of salvation learned by an executioner from a condemned killer, to the gift of freedom found in the rescue of victims of human trafficking. This is God's Truth in Action.
Welcome to Engaging Truth. This is one of your hosts for this evening. We have a guest host that I will introduce in just a moment. But this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And usually on this particular Sunday, we have a special guest. And the special guest is here again tonight. And like he's been here 10 years before, he's with us again tonight. And our guest host will introduce him in just a moment. You know, science can't tell us where life comes from, why we're here, and what makes us special. We rely on God's Word to tell us about the sanctity of human life. The Church's failure to oppose and end abortion is a denial of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that. We've given in on sexual immorality, divorce, and alternate gender choices. In a world where everything goes, abortion will remain a practical necessity. How then can the unbeliever accept the credibility of anything we profess if we remain conforming cowards? And so with that, we join Matt Popovitz, our guest host for this evening. Matt, welcome to the mic. And you've got our famous guest that you'll introduce right now.
I do, and it's so great to be here with you. I want to introduce to you, if you're a regular Engaging Truth listener, a familiar voice, Larry White. He's the pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church, and he's here, as Dave said, to talk about the subject of abortion, denial of the gospel. How is that so? And so, Larry, welcome once again to Engaging Truth.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here. It's good to be looking at somebody other than Schultz, finally.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to start here. I think everyone who watches the news or has a pulse can agree that we find ourselves in really interesting times where there are very clearly opposing worldviews at work. All you have to do is flip on CNN or Fox News or wherever you get your information, and you see that there is a cultural struggle happening in our day and age, particularly around the issues related to human sexuality. As Dave mentioned in the open, there is a lot of wrestling with what it means to be male or female. There continues to be, as we'll talk about in a moment, a battle over what some would label reproductive rights. Larry, what are your thoughts? How would you characterize the moment we find ourselves in as a culture?
I think what's critically important to recognize is that what's taking place in American society at this moment in time is a fundamental transition which began decades ago in the 1950s and then more dramatically in the 1960s and has continued in the decades since then. And what that transition represents is a clash of two mutually exclusive religions. Now, I'm using that word religion perhaps more broadly than we would otherwise understand it, to mean that a religion is a perception of reality, a lens, if you will, through which an individual perceives what is real and what is not, and what is good and what is not. Everyone has such a lens. And in every case, whether one happens to be a devout biblical Christian or an avowed atheist, secularist, those worldviews are all based on unproven and unprovable assumptions, what we would call faith. And in my view, that makes the atheist as much an advocate of a faith perception as the Christian. Two religions clashing. And what has been happening since the 1950s is the broad Judeo-Christian worldview upon which American culture rested up to the end of the Second World War has gradually been eroding. Now, when I say Judeo-Christian worldview, I'm not talking about a Christian America with a unique form of Sharia adapted to the New Testament and the Old. What I'm talking about is a very broadly defined perception of reality, which could include deists like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, a simple agreement that there is a supreme being who establishes broad principles of right and wrong, true and false, but we're not going to push it much beyond that because then we'll start to disagree. And that broadly based perception is dissolving around us at an increasing rate. Christians, by and large, fail to recognize that. We're always behind the game in such things. And when Christianity loses its influence within a culture, that always happens by default. It's already happened in Europe, as Pope Benedict would speak openly for the first time as a Roman pontiff of post-Christian Europe. And in my view, the transition that took place in Europe is to a large extent the result of the failure of Christianity there to effectively oppose the totalitarian worldviews of communism and Nazism. Christians generally then failed to understand the nature of the struggle, and I believe that's happening now.
What you said a moment ago is, let me see if I'm getting this right, you said that worldview in many sense equals religion. The ultimate lens through which you interpret all things equals, in some sense, the religion that you have, and everybody has a lens, so therefore everyone has kind of an ultimate view of reality that, you know, is essentially their religion. What would you say to those who would profess to believe in, say, Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but who have more progressive, some would say, views on things like abortion? Here we sit on Sanctity of Life Sunday, who say that they profess faith in Jesus Christ, and yet they want to protect and preserve a woman's right to choose. They would say that they have a worldview that lives in tension with what you just described. How would you respond to that?
Well, it would depend on how we define "I believe in Jesus Christ." It would depend on whether or not we share a commitment to the authority of the Word of God. And if we do, then it is a relatively simple matter to go to the Word and to demonstrate that the Word teaches the personhood of the unborn child from the instant of conception. Now, to the degree that we don't agree on those issues, and as you suggested, there are a great many Christians who don't. We deal with what we as parish pastors deal with what the sociologists these days call denominational ambiguity.
Yeah.
That is, people choose to believe what they choose, no matter what church I may belong to.
Yeah.
When Dave and I were young, which is quite some time ago, if someone said they were Roman Catholic or Missouri Synod Lutheran or Presbyterian or whatever, one could safely assume what they believed since they had chosen to belong to that denomination. That's no longer the case because a good deal of the secularist worldview
right.
is a radical individualism
mm-hmm.
that says there are no absolutes,
yeah.
either in terms of truth or in terms of morality.
Yeah.
And a good many people who would identify themselves as Christians across denominational lines have attempted to have it both ways. Now, as I said a few moments ago, those two worldviews are mutually exclusive when it gets right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how much of the biblical Christ and the message of law and gospel expressed in the Bible as the Word of God, there comes a point somewhere in there, different for every individual and the weird concoction of the things they've chosen from the smorgasbord of beliefs
yeah.
That work for them. As my brother-in-law said the other day, that Old Testament business just doesn't work for me. And I said, well, and he's a Roman Catholic. And I said, well, I'll call your priest and see if we could get the bishop to work on that for you.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where even though you may consider yourself a Christian and call yourself a Christian, you're not.
Okay. And the, I mean, the assertion that you bring to us tonight as we discuss is pretty black and white. I mean, the title of tonight's discussion is Abortion Denial of the Gospel. And so explain to our listeners, you know, some of whom may have never really wrestled with how their belief on the subject of abortion is connected to their faith in Jesus Christ and whether or not they fully receive and lay hold of the gospel in their hearts. Explain that of how abortion equals a denial of the gospel.
The essence of the gospel of Jesus is a message of life
mm-hmm.
based on the biblical affirmation of a creator God who individually and intimately fashions each unborn child in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
As was reflected in the Supreme Court debates over Roe versus Wade. Justice Douglas, certainly no conservative, pointed out to the advocate attorneys that the biggest challenge they were going to face before the court was to avoid any suggestion of the personhood of the unborn child.
Hmm.
That's really what the argument is about. It's not about abortion. It's about, is that child a lump of tissue or is it a person? And the laws which have proceeded since 1973 and Roe v. Wade have proceeded on the assumption that the unborn child is nothing more than part of the tissue of the mother's body
sure.
with which she may do as she chooses. Which brings us back to the point of the fact that both sides in this cultural divide are arguing from the perspective of a religion. The question isn't, are we going to legislate morality? Every law is based on a moral principle.
Yeah.
It's not whether we're going to legislate morality, it's whose morality are you going
yeah.
to legislate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany in 1933 in a political coalition with conservative parties, which ironically included most of the Christian-based parties in Germany. They thought they could handle the paper hanger. They were obviously wrong. He immediately began understanding the nature of law to lead the German nation through what they called Gleichschaltung. That means coordination, bringing every dimension of German life into conformity with the National Socialist lens. Hmm. That eventually involved the church, which was, unfortunately, because of historical circumstances, bound into the government. And so Hitler did what politicians do. He brought the most important influential pastors in Germany to the Reichschancellery in Berlin, and he wined them and he dined them and he had his picture taken with them. I'll bet they didn't keep many of those after the war, but he made them feel important, and he patted them on the back, and he promised them that their state subsidies were safe, that the church had nothing to fear from a Hitler government. One of the pastors there was a young man for whom the ministry was a second career. He had been a U-boat commander in World War I. Martin Niemöller was his name, and he was the pastor because of his military background in a prestigious church in the Berlin suburb of Dahlem. And he watched what Hitler was doing, and with the brash impatience of youth, he finally had had enough. He pushed his way up to stand face to face with the dictator, and he said, Herr Hitler, our concern is not for the church. Our concern is for the soul of Germany. An embarrassed silence fell over the room. Everybody's backing away from the troublemaker. And if you've never had that happen, you're not a faithful Christian. And Hitler watched their reaction and understood exactly what it meant. And he smiled and he said, the soul of Germany, you can leave that to me. And they did. And we are, because we fail to understand the nature of the conflict in which we are engaged. There is no middle ground here. When all is said and done, America will either be a nation based on nothing more than me, myself, and I, or it will, in one way or another, reestablish a broad, Bible-based Christian morality. And one or the other is, and only one or the other, is going to succeed. The other, as Leo Tolstoy would say, will be consigned to the dustbin of history.
May I jump in here for just a moment? Too much excitement going on, but let me just share with you something about who we are. I'd like to remind you that this program is, all of them, our listener-supported. Evangelical Life Ministries is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. All of our hosts are volunteers. Your donations help us to remain on the air as this program tonight. You can go to our website, elmhouston.org, and donate online, or you can send just a message to us, or you can send your support to ELM P.O. Box 568, Cypress, Texas. Also, at our website, elmhouston.org, you can access podcasts of past programming or use the contact tab to ask us a question, comment on programming, or even submit a prayer request. From the website, you can also jump to our Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube pages, and we hope that you do. Dr. Larry, you're back at it.
Your original question was, how does our failure to resist abortion and the culture from which it comes discredit the gospel? And I haven't gotten to that yet, but I'm working on it. Christianity purports to be a religion of life that defends the helpless and the hopeless. The churches of Europe, Lutheran churches, most of them in Central Europe, are empty today because the world watched our failure to stand against Nazism and the evil of the Holocaust, which was nothing more than the application of the racism inherent in Darwinian evolution. And they decided, correctly, I'm afraid, that those who bore the name of Christ were nothing more than hypocrites. The German Protestant Church divided into three segments. You had the confessing church, led by people like Pastor Niemöller, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and others. Then you had the German Christians, who ardently and eagerly embraced Nazism, swastikas all over their vestments on Sunday morning. And that leaves us, we got 20 and we got 20. That leaves 60, I think. Mm-hmm. Never been good at math, that's why I went into the ministry. And 60 just went on with their business as usual. Mm-hmm. They didn't get involved either way.
Yeah.
They kept taking their government checks, sure, and went from there. Because standing for what is good and right and godly is always a risk.
Yeah.
There is always the numbers and the bucks on the devil's side.
Yeah.
We are never in the majority. We are always the 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Pastor Niemöller, for example, from that day, was watched by the Gestapo, who sat in the pews of his church in their distinctive leather green trench coats, writing down every word he said because they didn't have cell phones to record it all with. Everybody knew if he kept telling the truth, they would come for him.
Hmm.
And they did.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, they broke down the door to his house, hauled him away to Moabit City Jail in downtown Berlin. It's still there, still in use. Threw him in the holding cell with the drunks and the hookers from the night before. The floor of the cell covered with blood and vomit. And there he sits in his clerical collar and his black suit. And the Lutheran chaplain comes around at dawn making his rounds, and he looks at Niemöller and he says, "Why are you here? What did you do, my brother?" Mm-hmm. And Niemöller says, "My brother, given what's happening in our country, why aren't you here?"
Yeah. Yeah. As our time winds down in this first of two episodes, what would you say to someone who's listening who wants to be active and involved in protecting vulnerable lives? What's one simple step that they can take to be part of the positive movement of protecting the weak and the vulnerable?
There are scores of organizations throughout our city and our nation, some attached to denominational backgrounds, like Lutherans for Life, others unwed mothers, pregnancy centers, crisis pregnancy centers, providing supplies, financial support, food, and whatever, for a young lady who finds herself in what we call a problem pregnancy. It's not the pregnancy that's the problem, but that's another issue. It depends on what part of the pain you want to focus. Because what abortion has done is it has given freedom to be more irresponsible to young men and abandoned young women who got pregnant, and they're out of there.
Yeah.
And the culture says that's fine.
Yeah.
We'd like to just tell you, the listening audience, that this has been a very delightful but yet a very intuitive conversation between Pastor Larry White and Pastor Matt Popovitz, and we're going to return in just a few moments, but let me just say thank you to you both for just this first segment of the program. And let me just tell you that we will proceed in just a few minutes to do program number two with the same issue of Sanctity of Life Sunday. Come back with us in a few minutes. The Lord be with you and keep you in His grace. This is Dave Schultz at KKHT, Engaging Truth. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of Engaging Truth. Be sure to join us each week at this time. To help support our ministry, contact Evangelical Life Ministries, Post Office Box 568, Cypress, Texas 77410, or visit our website at elmhouston.org, or find us on Facebook at Evangelical Life Ministries. Thank you.